everybody. Cal Banyan, Cal Banyan's Hypnosis, etc. Another all-Cal episode. No Elrond, no Meredith, but I expect Elrond will be back with us next week. He's just been busy with some family stuff and things like that. And with the holiday we just been through, you know, I decided I would bring up a topic on my own and also let some know that in a pinch, I can handle it. All right, if you're watching this anywhere except calbanyan.com, you want to go there right now because right below this video, you know what there is? There's texts, there's links, there's graphics, all kinds of important stuff that will make this video more valuable. As a matter of fact, there are links to the first two parts of this series, and this series is Simple Things We Can Do to Vastly Improve the Profession. Before I get started, my quick little commercial, I want to see you at the National Guild of Hypnotists Convention. I have the Week of Power coming up. What is the Week of Power? It is a confidence, a skill-building course. You get certification in 5-Path, so you can quickly become a 1%er, one of the best in the profession, and you get to learn, and you can even become a teacher of the mind-boggling mind, body, and spirit form of self-hypnosis called 7-Path. And also, if you can't possibly wait till then, in July, I have the full course. The National Guild of Hypnotists approved Banyan Hypnosis Certification Super Course here at our center, and that is going to be July 2011, right over there on that side of the website. We've got some links. Keep our schedule there. Also, I have a schedule on hypnosiscenter.com. We also have the full-blown 10-day certification course on starting October 31st, running through November 11th. All right, enough of that. Wait, a couple more things. I thought it was enough of that, but there's always something else. You can get 5-Path Hypnotherapy Certification through our video course. It's the 5-Path 2.0 Advanced Hypnotherapy Certification video course. And also, did you know that you can get full-blown complete certification through video? And finally, if you want to do the live thing but you can't get here, you know what? You can actually take the whole thing live over the internet. You got questions? There's a link below. See, that's why you got to be on calbanyan.com and not on one of those other video sites. Did you know people actually steal this video and put it on their website? But then you just have the video. You don't have all the cool links. So go to calbanyan.com if you're on one of those websites where they stole the video. All right. What have we talked about so far in episodes? Oh, not episodes. In part one and part two of this series of simple things we can do to vastly improve our profession, and not just the profession as a whole, but also your practice, your success. Okay, one, agree on what hypnosis really is. It's a heightened state of suggestibility. Two, move away from emphasizing the progressive relaxation induction and get everyone confident with using faster inductions. Three, recognize that these things are not hypnosis. I'm not going to tell you what they are. You need to go watch the earlier parts of this series because I don't want to take away from time from this episode because I make sure I get this done. All right. Move away from direct suggestion hypnosis and emphasize insight-oriented techniques. I talked about the advantages. If you're a scriptnotist, it's time to give up scriptnotism. Just reading script after script. If you're doing that, you're bored anyway, and you're not satisfied, and you're not getting the permanent results that you can have. Start doing, and then master the advanced techniques. Age regression, parts work, parts mediation, forgiveness of others, forgiveness of self. Once you do that, your results are going to be so much more powerful, so much more reliable, and you know, you're just going to be more satisfied in the work. It instantly becomes much more interesting. All right. Number five was educate hypnotists to not be afraid of emotions. Emotions are not dangerous. Gosh, it's a lot harder on the client than it is on you if they cry. Just get used to it. Almost nothing of importance happens in a hypnosis session unless there is some emotional discharge. All right. Six, educate hypnotists so that they understand how emotions affect their clients' behavior. Seven, come up with a consistent model of the mind. And one of the main differences in this the model of the mind I'm proposing is that you have the conscious, the subconscious, and the unconscious, and all three levels of the mind have different levels of suggestibility. The unconscious level of the mind is the body consciousness, and it's highly suggestible. Even with no hypnosis at all, you can get an effect, and that's, for example, placebo. Also, the subconscious mind, you need to have the threshold of somnambulism or deeper, and if you want them to recognize that they're hypnotized or possibly hallucinate in their during the session with their eyes open, then you need to have five or six, level five or six, full somnambulism, profound somnambulism, and that's because they will consciously then know that they are hypnotized. All right, let's get on to the new stuff. Eight, educate hypnotists on their one biggest problem that they don't even know about. Did you know that hypnotists have this big, huge problem that's interfering with their success that they don't even know about? There's this thing that's looming out there in a certain percentage of your clients. I want you to know there's a certain percentage of your clients that you can do everything right. You could do a perfect pre-talk, prepare them perfectly for the hypnosis session. You can do the perfect induction. You can take them to precisely the right level of hypnosis, covertly test for that level of hypnosis, convince them using convincers, do all the right insight work, everything perfect, take care of everything that has to do with the cause of the problem and still fail. What do you think of that? Kind of scary. And one of the problems is if you don't know what to do in this circumstance, then you will begin to doubt hypnosis. You will begin to doubt yourself. You will begin to doubt your training. And you might even go in and try to redo stuff that you did or think that you did something wrong, where you can do everything right and still fail. And I've never heard of a class that talked about this except for the five path classes. And that is, you need to understand the power of secondary gain. What is secondary gain? Secondary gain is something that someone gets out of having their problem or issue, some benefit that is separate from the cause of the problem. So whatever the cause of the problem is, if an individual has had that problem long enough in a significant number of issues, they have learned that there is an advantage to it. For example, let's say if they have back pain. If a person has back pain, well, gosh, maybe now they're getting money from the insurance company or from workman's comp. And if they lose that back pain, they lose that money. That's a very simple way to understand secondary gain. And you need to understand how to determine that it is there. Otherwise, you begin to doubt hypnosis, you begin to doubt yourself, you begin to doubt the work that you did. You can spin your wheels, redoing the age regression, redoing any other work that you did, read scripts from now until high water, right? And you're not going to have any success. You have to have a way to neutralize secondary gain. And just to give you kind of a little bit of an insight on that, this is where parts mediation work or parts mediation therapy can be very, very important. Because let's say your client has come for you for weight loss. And you know what? You've gone through, I don't know, three sessions, four sessions, five sessions, and you think you've got the cause of the problem licked. She's doing so well, she's losing weight, and then all of a sudden, you get a call one afternoon. Help, I think that it's worn off, because last night, I just gorged out on a box of chocolates. or they bought the big Halloween sized candy, right? The 3-pound bag of little chocolates, and they ate it all by themselves, and they're freaking out. Well, what do you do? Well, if you're smart, you'll say, that's okay. Don't worry about it. I know what to do. Come right in. And they come in. Now, was that secondary gain? You don't know. I'm going to give you a little bit of a hint on how to figure this out. Put them back into somnambulism and then do a date time regression to that day when they binged. And you want to find out what's happening, what are they thinking, and what are they feeling? Because if they're still thinking or still feeling what you thought you neutralized in the age regression, or in the forgiveness therapy, or forgiveness of self or forgiveness of others, and they're still feeling it, and as a result, they're doing the feel bad, distract cycle. Feel bad, eat. That's so common. I mean, how many times have we got upset and had something to eat, or had something to drink, or had something to smoke, or whatever? Feel bad, distract cycle. If you don't understand that yet, go to thesecretlanguageoffeelings.com. Listen to those audios there. You're going to have a good time, and you're going to get a huge understanding of why clients do crazy stuff. Now, so you put her in hypnosis, and you do a date time regression, not an affect bridge, not time tunneling technique, back to that event. And you have her relive that event. You find out what she's thinking. For example, let's say she has an interview coming the next day and she's all nervous and worried about it. And she dives into that box of chocolates or that bag of Almond Joys or whatever it is, trying to focus on the wonderful taste of that candy instead of worrying about that feeling inside of her she doesn't like. Okay. If that's something you worked on in age regression and now it's come back, that indicates that more age regression needs to be done. If something comes up that you thought you had already worked on, then it wasn't either done effectively or completely. You continue to do the work. You go back, finish the work that you thought was done. If it's not done, this is what happens. Your clients go away and it stops working and then they got to come back. Now you know what to do when they come back. Take them there, find out if what they're thinking, what they're feeling is stuff that you already thought you dealt with. If they came back, you didn't deal with it completely or effectively. But let's say now they're worried about something else, and it has to do about now or the future. Well, then that's not age regression work. That's not about anger because it hasn't happened yet, which is forgiveness of others work that takes care of the anger. Or they're not feeling guilty about something because that's what forgiveness of self is about. They're concerned about, gosh, now that I've taken care of this problem that I had, now I've got a new set of problems. Ah, secondary gain. Then we can begin the parts mediation process. So you need to learn that in order to deal with that. Because right now it's messing up a lot of hypnotists out there. And when it's messing up hypnotists, it's messing up the profession. People are thinking, I've gone to a hypnotist, or I've gone to 3 hypnotists, but I still have this problem. And it could be because of secondary gain. But we can't know until we've done the date-time regression to where the problem most recently occurred. You find out what they're thinking and what they're feeling. If they're still thinking and feeling what you thought you took care of, you didn't take care of it, you got to continue that work, like age regression, parts work, forgiveness work, whatever it is. But if they're concerned about something new, for example, took care of the back pain, and now they got to go to work. Oh, gosh, I think my back is starting to hurt again. Got it? Okay. So then we would immediately go into the parts mediation work process. And just a little bit of information what that is. What we're going to do is we're going to psychically divide the individual in 2 parts. Not psychic like crystal balls and stuff, but psychologically divide the person into 2 parts. The part that wants to change and the part that wants to remain with the old problem. And then we're going to do a standard mediation process that you could get out of any mediation book. But I'm going to simplify it a little bit for the hypnotist so that you can just run through it like a checklist. And that will take care of the secondary gain. And you know what? If you're a psychologist out there or a counselor, secondary gain can be huge. Gosh, it's frustrated you so many times, get 5-PATH, learn how to do this stuff, and it'll make a big difference in your psychology or counseling practice. All right, number 9, the last one in my list of things that could vastly, vastly improve our profession. Make sure that every hypnosis professional knows how to use and teach self-hypnosis so that they can motivate themselves. All right, gosh, where do I even begin to start? Too many hypnotists out there smoking cigarettes when they don't want to be smoking cigarettes. There's too many hypnotists out there abusing alcohol. Hypnotists and hypnotherapists, they're people too. I mean, this is also true of psychologists, counselors, doctors, lawyers, every profession, okay? Except we got no excuse for it. We're hypnotists. We need to be our own master of self-hypnosis so that we can be an example of how hypnosis can make a profound and positive change in someone's life. At the very least, you've got to go to see a hypnotist to experience the change in yourself. We need to strive to be good examples of what the profession could do. I mean, to be a hypnotist and to be 100 pounds overweight, come on, that's not good for your practice. That's not good for the profession. You know, I don't want to see someone walking around that's 100 pounds overweight with a t-shirt that says, "Hypnosis works, ask me how." Come on. Okay? Or smoking a cigarette, or, you know, with a DUI, drinking too much, or losing their license. These things, you know, hurt the profession, and it hurts you. If you've got a problem like this, you want to become your own best example. One of the greatest things you can do in your own promotion of your business is to tell people how hypnosis has changed your life, how it has helped you, and maybe other people you know. You want to become a true believer, a living example of how hypnosis can help you. I mean, I've lost like 60 pounds and kept it off, and you've got to be able to do that. I used to be a pack and a half day smoker of cigarettes, you know, and I didn't want to do that anymore because it was dumb. So, you know, you want to have these true stories, because when hypnosis, either because you went and saw a hypnotist or because you use self-hypnosis on yourself, that kind of knowledge and knowing and confidence inside of you, it's going to radiate out. People are going to hear it in your voice. They're going to hear your stories. They're going to be inspired, and they'll want to have what you have, the ability to use hypnosis to change your life. So, number 9, make sure every hypnosis professional knows how to use and teach self-hypnosis so they can motivate themselves and teach their clients how to motivate themselves. You should strive to use hypnosis to make an example of yourself. You should have hypnosis success story about yourself. You need to be a true believer. You need to have been hypnotized. I have people come to my advanced hypnosis certification course. They've been through 2 or 3 other courses. And one of the first things I do on the first day is have everybody introduce themselves. And they tell me about their experience, their classes that they've had, and whether or not they've ever been hypnotized. And there's probably 20% of each class that says, you know, I haven't been hypnotized, or I don't think I have. Come on. You need to go get hypnotized. If you weren't hypnotized in your class, then you need to go see a hypnotist or take a class where they do make sure everyone gets hypnotized. All right. All right. You know, I was speaking at the Solid Gold Weekend this last summer. It was here in Anaheim, and from what I understand, it's going to happen again here in Orange County in Anaheim this coming summer. And you know me, I get excited about stuff, and I'm passionate about this. And I was on this experts panel, and everybody was supposed to share their bits of wisdom. And you know what bit of wisdom I shared that it turned off some people? I want them back when I did my talk later on in the program, but I said, get in or get out. You know, some people, some simple things we can do to improve this profession is, you know what, if you're not really into this, get out. So there's some people out there watching this video right now that one of the best things, I know this is probably not going to make a lot of friends and influence people in a positive way, but you know what, you got to have a calling for this. You got to have an inner desire for this. And you know, I believe everybody that comes into this world has a calling, that you are perfectly designed to do what you came into this life to do. You're exactly the right gender, you're exactly the right color, you have exactly the right parents, you have exactly the right IQ, talents, temperament, and all that to do what you came into this life to do. And you know what? If you're not passionate about hypnosis and hypnotherapy, this might not be for you. You need to quit spinning your wheels. You need to just go find your passion. You're going to be happier. And you know, I mean this in the nicest possible way. The profession will be better off without you. Oh boy, more hate mail on this one. But if you do feel the passion, you do feel the calling, then let's look at some of these very simple, very inexpensive, very doable ways that we can vastly improve our profession. And it starts with the individual. If you are not up to speed on these things, get up to speed. It might be through video. It might be through, if you start watching all of these videos, they're free, they're online. It may be going to my class, or maybe there's someone else that inspires you, but you've got to either get in 100% or get out. You hear me talk about one percenters, but there are no one percenters, hypno one percenters out there, the best of the best, that are not 100% of the way in. Okay, and you don't want to be 100% of the way in unless it's your passion. Okay. Now, if you've been kind of passionate about hypnosis, but for one reason or another you've been holding back, stop holding back. Find a teacher, find a mentor, find someone that you think, gosh, I could really learn from him or learn from her. You know, you don't have to learn 5-path and 7-path from me. We've got trainers in different parts of the world and across the United States. We got them in Texas. We got them in Canada. We got in Singapore. I don't even know where they're all at. And you might have someone near you. Give us a call. Email us. If you can't make it out here, then find one of our local trainers or find someone that is really, really good that can get you off to an excellent start. And not just a start. Find someone who's going to be able to support you after graduation. Questions that you have, concerns that you have, helps you network with other people that speak the same language, that understand what hypnosis really is, that do the fast inductions, that do the hypnosis therapies. Okay, it's time to get off the fence. Get in or get out. Strive to be a one percenter or get out, okay? You know, some of you are doctors that are watching this. Some of you are psychologists. Some of you are psychiatrists and counselors and social workers. And you're saying, well, I've got all these other things that I do. Well, you know what? I challenge you to learn hypnosis and hypnotherapy at this higher level. And you know what? If you really become a one percenter with hypnosis, it's going to cause everything else that you do to become more powerful. You are going to be happier in your profession, and your clients' results are going to go through the roof. Okay, I'm out of it. You know how I get. I'm so excited. I'm so passionate about this. I hope to see you in class. Definitely go to the National Guild of Hypnotists Convention. It's the biggest, it is the best, it is the friendliest hypnosis event of the year worldwide. bar none. You gotta go. And you know what? If you watch these videos, come up to me, say hi, say, hey, I watch your videos. I love that when people come up and say, I watched your videos, or you know, I have your five path process, or I trained with Celeste Hackett in Texas, who trains our programs, and that kind of thing. All right, that's it. Enough of blabbering on. Remember to go to hypnosis.org. I'll teach you how to do the Elman Banyan induction and other stuff. Go to hypnosiscenter.com. I have all my schedule there. Go to Banyan Hypnosis Mall. Got lots and lots of stuff there. And if you're looking for a hypnotherapist near you to help you become a true believer, we have five pathers listed on hypnosis-directory.com. Okay, that's it. Hope to see you in class. Hope to see you at the NGH convention. This is Cal Banyan. Sign off.
This recording is the property of Cal Banyan and Cal Banyan's Banyan Publishing Incorporated. All rights reserved, for private use only, may not be duplicated without written permission.